Please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that was read for us a short while ago, John chapter 11. I want to focus our attention this morning on those very familiar words in John 11 verses 25 to 26, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Today is a day of great rejoicing, a day of great thanksgiving for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather and we sing hymns and songs of triumph because we believe, indeed we know, that Jesus lives today, and that he has kept his promise that 3 days after his death he would come back to life again. And this Easter morning is the day of the year when we remember the glorious resurrection of Jesus our Saviour. Now, of course, we worship every Sunday because it's the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And that's why we refer to it as the Lord's Day. So in that sense, every Sunday is a reminder to us that Jesus is alive today. But on Easter Sunday especially, we remember Jesus' resurrection, his victory over sin and death and the grave. And the fact that Jesus has conquered death and is now alive is one of the central truths of the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, taught that without the resurrection of Jesus, our faith and our preaching of Christianity is futile and pointless. If Jesus did not rise on that first Easter morning, then he was a deceiver. He was a fake. We might as well believe in the tooth fairy or anything else. If he didn't keep his promise that he would be raised to life after 3 days in the grave, then can we really trust any of his other promises? If all of this is some kind of fabrication by his disciples or simply a spiritual metaphor, as some would suggest, then it means that Jesus isn't God, and we have no hope of ever being forgiven or reconciled to a God who is absolutely holy. It means that we are lost forever. You see, the integrity of the Christian faith stands or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our hope of experiencing God's forgiveness, of experiencing his love both now, today, in our lives and in the future, is based on this great event. In his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul explains that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. So we Christians believe that Jesus is God because he has the power to overcome death, and he lives today. If he didn't, then why believe in him at all? You see, the Christian faith is a supernatural faith. It is founded upon many, many miracles, the supernatural power of God in the beginning at work in creating all things out of nothing, the miracle of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle of the God-man Jesus. Then there were all the other miracles he performed, demonstrating his power over sin, over death, over creation. And then, of course, the miracle of the resurrection. Now, I know that sometimes people get nervous about the supernatural. But it's quite interesting, I think, in moving from a modernist age into a postmodern age, people are more open to the supernatural. That's what drives people like Richard Dawkins absolutely nuts. Harris Interactive, who often do surveys and polls that are published in the Financial Times newspaper some years ago, did a survey of the religious and other beliefs of Americans. And that summary made very interesting reading. At the point at which they did the survey, which was more than 10 years ago now, more people believed in the devil and hell and angels than believed in Darwin's theory of evolution. Both, of course, faith positions. You need faith to believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. Now, I know the dangers of using opinion polls and statistics, but it seems to me that many people today have had enough of heartless, meaningless rationalism and the materialism of our age, and they are seeking spiritual answers to their questions. Postmodern people are no longer interested in proving the facts. That was a modernist preoccupation. Instead, they're asking, does it work? What difference will believing in Jesus make to my life today and into the future? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is significant for us this morning for lots of different reasons. Some of them are objective, proving the truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, but others are to do with that so what question. What difference should the fact that Jesus is alive make to me, make to you, make to anyone else today? Well, of course, the resurrection of Jesus reveals certain truths about him, things that are essential for us to know and to grasp. But it also reveals the wonderful possibilities for us as well. The Apostle Paul, again, writing to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10, virtually shouts out the desire of his heart. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, Paul wanted to experience the power that raised Jesus from death in his own life. And to know that life, he had to know the one who gave it. He had to know Jesus himself. And for the Apostle Paul, knowing Jesus was the most important thing in his life. Knowing Jesus meant partaking in the power that raised him from death. And there is no greater power in the universe. But what is this power? Well, I want you to notice that Jesus tells us something about himself at the beginning of John chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice he didn't say that he had resurrection power or that he was able to give resurrection power. He actually says, I am the resurrection. He is that resurrection power. So resurrection power centers in the person of Jesus Christ. Or if you prefer, Jesus is the source of this power and life, the only one who is able to give it. Now, Jesus made this amazing claim while he was talking with a woman called Martha. Her brother Lazarus had recently died and been buried in the village. Jesus was a friend of the family and he'd been sent for when Lazarus had fallen ill. But by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had already died. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. And when Jesus arrived in the village, Martha rushed out to meet him. She poured out her grief and her disappointment to Jesus. And if you look at verse 21 of chapter 11, she asks him a question, or she pleads with him. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Jesus spoke a word of comfort to her in verse 23. Your brother will rise again. Now Martha assumed that Jesus was referring to the resurrection of the dead on the last day. And it was at this point in the story that Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection and the life. And as events unfold, Martha and her sister Mary come to understand the full truth of that statement as they witness their brother Lazarus being brought back to life by Jesus. But this claim of Jesus is also full of meaning and significance for every one of us this morning. What does it mean that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? What does it mean that Jesus gives this resurrection power this morning for you and I? Well, I want you to see three things here, three implications of this truth about the Lord Jesus. The first is very simple. He lives, therefore we live, and we do so forever. Those three things, he lives, we live, and we do so forever. So the first thing we need to see is that if Jesus is the resurrection, it means that he lives today. Jesus Christ is alive. It means that death and the grave have been conquered. They could not defeat him. They could not hold him. Jesus, the perfect, sinless one, was nailed to a cross and suffered because of our sin. As our substitute, he paid the penalty for all our disobedience, all our rebellion against God. Now, we'll never fully understand the agonies that he endured as he hung on the cross that day. But when it was all over, When the cost of our redemption had been paid in full, he cried out, "It is finished." He bowed his head, he gave up his spirit to his Father. Jesus died. He was really dead. And all because all we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. You, me, everyone watching, everyone listening. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've gone our own way. We've sought our own desires and goals. Yet because God loved us so much, God laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquity, the sin, the rebellion of us all. So our sin caused the death of Jesus. Yet after he'd been confirmed dead, some of his followers come and lay his body in a borrowed tomb. A large stone was rolled across the entrance. It was sealed by the Roman soldiers who were sent there to guard it. But the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. And on the third day, according to the promise of God, Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He broke the chains of death. He defeated the powers of hell. And from the grave, he came forth in victory and in power. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let others in to see that he had risen. And that empty tomb stands forever as the greatest monument to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know as well as I do that critics have scoffed at the idea of Christ's resurrection, but none have been able to produce his body. We have the bodies of many great political and religious leaders. We know where they are, but Christ's body is not here. It's not anywhere to be found because Christ is risen, as he said. So resurrection power means that Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, we know that he is who he claimed to be. He is who he said he was. He is the victorious Son of the living God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we were thinking of last Sunday. He is life itself. He lives today. Now, there were at least 10 occasions or post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. Eyewitness accounts of people who saw him alive after his resurrection. Now, you might say, okay, so Jesus is alive. So what? What difference does that make to me in my life today? Well, that leads us to the second thing I want us to see here. Because Jesus lives, we live also. Not only does that resurrection power mean that Jesus is alive, it also means that we live. Look again at verse 25. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies." Is there life after death? That's always been a burning question for any thinking person. The quality of life now, the prospect of something better in the next life, has always been important to human beings. The thought that these few short years on earth is all that we have is frightening for many people. And therefore people search for answers. Some of them, sadly, even in the enlightened West, pursue hope in the demeaning folly of reincarnation. I say folly because to think that you're condemned to return as something or someone else with no memory or consciousness of who you are is like never having lived at all. If you can't continue as the real person you are, what is the point in coming back? No, I want to live. I want to live as me. I don't want death to have the last word. I don't want death to end my existence. I want to live. And in your heart of hearts, so do you. The truth of the power of Christ's resurrection is that those who believe in him, those who take him at his word, will also rise again. Jesus said that even if we die, we will live. In other words, just as he came forth from that grave, so also we will come forth from our graves in that great resurrection morning. It is the destiny of all of those who love and follow Jesus to come through death to new life in his eternal kingdom. Jesus has shown the way. Because he is the resurrection, those of us who belong to him by faith will come through death as well, because he lives, we will live also. But notice the qualification put on this. For us to enjoy this glorious future prospect, we must believe in Jesus. Not in having great karma, not in our own goodness or worthiness, because we're not good, not in anything or anyone other than Jesus. Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall live." So we say only those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have this wonderful future hope, this wonderful experience. The resurrection power of Christ is at work in those who put their faith in him, in those who are born again by the Spirit of God. I read recently of a woman who was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumour. And when she was asked to comment, she said this: "Don't worry about me. I'm about to go on the greatest adventure of my life." Now, why did she say that? How can that be possible? Now, that woman wasn't simply convinced of the proofs of the resurrection, though she believed it fully. More importantly, her confidence was based on Jesus Christ himself. She knew Jesus. She knew that he was the resurrection and the life. She knew his power. She knew that he loved her with an everlasting love. She knew that he was waiting for her the moment she closed her eyes in death. You see, the Christian's confidence in the face of death is only in Jesus. For me to live is Jesus, and to die is just more of Jesus. So the resurrection power of Jesus means that we proudly, gladly, joyously proclaim that he lives today. That means that we live, but it also means that we live forever. Look at verse 26. "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, the Bible teaches that everyone who lives on earth, whether they believe in Jesus or not, will be resurrected on Judgment Day. Those who believe in Jesus will be raised to enjoy life in his presence forever. Those who deny the call to believe in Jesus Christ will be raised to face God's judgment and condemnation forever. And Jesus promises eternal life to all who trust him as Saviour and Lord. And this means that we will be forever with him, enjoying the glories of his presence. John Newton, in his famous hymn, Amazing Grace, got the sense of it in the final verse, depending on what version you're looking at. He said, "When we've been there 1,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." See, faith in Jesus brings joy for today and bright hope for tomorrow. With Jesus after death, we will never know pain or sorrow, sickness or death again. There we will be united with loved ones who have gone before, never to be parted again. There we will be free from the limitations of this weary, worn and tired body as we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality. Tim Keller, in his book on suffering, comments on this issue of the bodily resurrection in this way, and I think this captures so well our glorious hope as the people of God. He says this: "The fourth great doctrine is that of the bodily resurrection from the dead for all who believe. This completes the spectrum of our joys and consolations. One of the deepest desires of the human heart is for love without parting." Isn't that lovely? One of the deepest desires of the human heart is for love without parting. Needless to say, he goes on, "the prospect of the resurrection is far more comforting than the beliefs that death takes you into nothingness or into an impersonal spiritual substance. The resurrection goes beyond the promise of an ethereal, disembodied afterlife. We get our bodies back in a state of beauty and power that we cannot fully imagine." He goes on, "Jesus' resurrection body was corporeal. It could be touched and embraced, and he ate food, and yet he passed through closed doors and could disappear. This is a material existence, but one beyond the bounds of our imagination. And then he says this, the idea of heaven can be a consolation for suffering, a compensation for the life we have lost. But resurrection is not just consolation. It is a restoration. We get it all back. The love, the loved ones, the goods, the beauties of this life, but in new, unimaginable degrees of glory and joy and strength. End of quote. See, the promise of our Saviour Jesus Christ is that we will live forever in the new creation. When we're raised from the dead, we are raised bodily, physically, to eternal life. Our destiny in Jesus Christ is secure forever. Resurrection power means that our lives will be completely restored and we will enjoy the presence of God among his people forever. That's in the future. That is our great hope. But what about today? Surely this is a time when hope should not just burn with a future desire, but should burn presently in our hearts. Well, the good news is that Jesus' resurrection power works in us today. When Paul said that he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, he wasn't just talking about the future, about death and the world beyond. He was speaking about life today. Because Jesus conquered death, he's alive today and he lives within those who trust him. The same power that raised Jesus from death is at work in the hearts and lives of every true believer. It is his life within that changes us to be more like him. It is his life within that enables us to be his witnesses in the world. It is his life within that enables us to conquer sin and live in holiness. It is his life within that guarantees us a glorious future when we die. And this is all in Jesus Christ. He lives, we live as well, but we live today by the power of his life lived within us. Recently added a version of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus to the song list at church. We haven't sung it yet. And part of me, I have mixed feelings because the opening verse has a sense of sort of saying, well, we just want to think about these big ethereal things and takes us away from the bodily, physical, earthly existence. But they've added three verses, as is often the way with these things, and they've added a bridge and all the rest of it. One of the lines that really gripped me as I heard this and tried to sing it myself, but we don't do that in front of microphones or anything like that. But there's a line in it that says, we carry his life in our veins. Now, you think, okay, that's too physical. But nevertheless, it gets that sense of the risen Christ living within us by his Spirit. He is both our future hope and our present strength. He's already given us eternal life. We merely have the privilege of beginning to live it in our lives today. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day when your people all around the world gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has come and conquered sin and death and the grave. We thank you that he has given us a glorious hope for the future. We thank you that death will not have the last word, but that we too, because we trust in Jesus, will be raised to eternal life bodily, physically, as he has gone before us. We pray, Father, that these truths would garrison and strengthen our hearts. Father, we're conscious that there are many in our church family for whom the year that has gone by has been one of sorrow and grief as we have laid loved ones to rest. But we thank you that in every case we know that death has been defeated, that through Jesus we will meet again. We will see one another face to face. There will be a possibility again in your presence in the new creation of embracing those of our loved ones that have been lost at this moment to us and gone from us, but who are now in your presence awaiting that great resurrection. And we pray, Father, that these things would strengthen and encourage us as we look to you in the future. Hear our prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, which is a glorious hymn of Easter praise. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son.